We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength in the air. We shall fight on the beaches. We shall fight on the landing grounds. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall never surrender until, in God's good time, the new world, with all its power and might, steps forth to the rescue and the liberation of people.
In times of universal deceit, truth is the only rebellion left. On this show, I'm going to respond to many of you who have asked me, why do you even bother to engage in social commentary? Why do you bother to enter into the market square of idea and debate the political issues and the social and moral issues of our time? Well, this weekend, I posted something on Parler and got 1 million screen views. That's why your voice matters. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion. Welcome to today's edition of The Rebellion. I've been asked over and over again, why do you bother to do this? Why are you involved in Facebook, Twitter, Parler, MeWe? Why do you engage in Instagram? What's the point? You're not going to win over anybody who disagrees with you. Well, there are two reasons to engage in debate, in my view. One is the potential of convincing your adversary that he or she is wrong, and the other is to embolden the faithful, to give them an example that it's okay to say what they think, and maybe actually give them a model of how to say that, an example of how to express the views that they actually hold quite close and dear, but they just are afraid to engage in the market square, in the arena of debate and social ideas, political ideas, theologically and religious ideas. So, two reasons, let me repeat. One is the potential of actually convincing those that disagree with you, and the other is to embolden the faithful. Give them an example that says, it's okay. It's okay to say what you think and to express your views with passion and clarity, and here's how to do it. And in doing so, as you engage in the market square of ideas and you embolden the faithful, you actually give them, and I've used this metaphor, this analogy over and over again, you give them a couple more arrows in their quiver so that they can engage in the battle for ideas effectively. So today I'm going to discuss an article that I posted on Parler, not Facebook, not Twitter, on Parler, and that it got a million, as I'm speaking right now, 1 million screen views. I'm going to share that article with you because you've heard part of it, not all of it, before on this show, and I'm going to use it as an example of an effective way to engage in the market square of ideas and actually get people to pay attention to you. Okay, that's today's show. Now, remember that if you'd like to subscribe to The Rebellion, which I really encourage you to do so, if we're going to pay the light bill, if we're going to continue to do this, I need more subscribers. So if you'd like to subscribe to The Rebellion, go to patreon.com/DREVERETTPIPER. One more time, patreon.com/Dr. Everett Piper, if you'd like to subscribe to The Rebellion. Please do, and encourage your friends and family to do the same. Also, you know the routine. When you listen to one of the podcasts, don't just listen to it. Download that podcast and then post it out there in social media. Parler, MeWe, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all of the above. Post it out there after you've downloaded it, and that way it gets more listeners and it bumps up my algorithm so that we get a higher rating in Spotify and whatnot. So please do that. That support is very important if we're going to continue the rebellion. Okay, back to the show. I posted something on Parler, and I just joined Parler, a week or two ago? And I've often thought, what's the point? You know, Facebook has us. They have a monopoly. Twitter has us. It's a monopoly. I know a lot of you have said you're leaving Facebook because of the censorship. They're basically ideological Nazis. They're shutting down anything that they don't want other people to read. They're censoring you. It's like burning books. I agree with all of that. I think it's shameful what Facebook has done, especially during this election season, where they're actually posting warnings on anything that you and I read or post with regard to the election. It's as if we aren't smart enough. We're a bunch of little kids and we have to be told what to think before we even read it. Don't read this, or if you do, be aware that it's not good. That's what Facebook is doing right now. I've been banned from posting anything on any other pages but my own. I can't post on any other group pages. And I do that on a weekly basis. I post the rebellion on other group sites, pages within Facebook. I post my Washington Times columns, not only on my Facebook. I've got two Facebook pages, Dr. Everett Piper and Everett Piper. I've got 5,000 followers or thereabout in each of those pages. So I can still post there, but I can't post on the numerous other group pages that I was doing so because Facebook has banned me. With no explanation, they just banned me. They say you can't do this anymore. No explanation. And it's like figuring out how to build a nuclear bomb to try to figure out how to ask these people a question. In other words, you have to be a nuclear physicist in order to figure out where the wizard is, the man behind the curtain, the man behind the curtain that's pulling all these strings. We don't even know. It's shameful. It really is shameful. But I've often said, or often thought, they've got us, because where am I going to go to get these people, you and others, to listen to me? So if I leave Facebook, I'm leaving 10,000 quote-unquote friends that have chosen to engage in the discussion with me. So I don't want to lose them. I don't want to lose those 10,000 people. So I've been very reluctant to try to go someplace else because none of the other sites are as good, or at least I thought that. Likewise on Twitter. Twitter's the same way. I've got about 11,400 or thereabout Twitter followers, and they're all organic. I didn't buy any of them. They all chose to follow. So I don't want to lose those. So if I just say, to heck with Twitter and to heck with Facebook because they're ideological Nazis and they're censoring everything I try to do, then I lose everything and I have to start over. That isn't a good place to be. Well, I joined Parler this week, okay? And I thought, nobody's going to read what I write, and nobody's going to listen to the rebellion. But I started posting the rebellion, and I started posting my Washington Times columns on Parler. And as of this morning, I only had 400 followers on Parler, as compared to 11,400 on Twitter and about 10,000 in Facebook. So it's just a pittance. It's a drop in the bucket. It's not doing any good. But I'll keep posting away and see if maybe I can build it up to 500 and 600. And when I hit 1,000, I'll be thrilled because at least, you know, I'm picking up steam and I've got somebody listening, not even a fraction of what listened to me out there in the Facebook Nazi world, in the Twitter Nazi world, but at least I'll build some minor followership in Parler. Well, I posted an article, was it yesterday? Yeah, I think it was yesterday. I posted an article. And when I got up this morning, I noticed that something was happening. I noticed I was picking up followers in Parler. I now have, as I'm speaking to you, and it's only been about 12 hours, 1 million screen views in Parler of this article. And I have 6,500 likes, or upvotes is what they call them in Parler, that they've actually read the article and liked it. I've got almost that many reposts, or thousands, let's just put it that way. And here's the thing. My followers in Parler were 400 this morning. They're 3,400 as I'm speaking to you right now. And they're clicking through almost one every 3 to 5 seconds, even as I'm doing this show. Now, what was the article? It was an article that I've posted on Facebook. It's an article that I posted on Twitter. And I didn't, I got 40 likes. I've got 60, 80 likes on Facebook. And that, okay, you know, got some, but not a lot. And I was ticked because I knew the reason I wasn't getting the same number of likes, or at least any likes on Facebook, and excuse me, on Facebook, was because I'd been banned. My point? Parler works. I want you to recognize that. Get on Parler. It works. 1 million screen views. 3,400 friends. That's 3,000 in one day. An addition of 3,000 in one day. And 6,400, 500 specific forwards and likes. This is amazing. This is amazing. So the point is, don't give up. Engage in the market square of ideas. Say something. Say it over and over again. Never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Winston Churchill. Fight on the beaches. Fight in the street. Fight in the market square of ideas. Fight in Facebook. Yes. Fight on Twitter. Yes. Fight on Instagram. Don't give up. Don't stop saying what's right and just and true. But find other platforms, any platform, every platform, and say what needs to be said. Speak the truth. And you know what? You might wake up one morning and people are actually listening to you. Let's take an early break. Acknowledge our sponsors. And when we get back, I'm going to read the article that I wrote for the Washington Times this weekend, just a few hours ago, and how it has gone bananas on Parler. I'm Dr. Everett Piper. This is The Rebellion. We'll be right back in a couple minutes. Okay, welcome back to The Rebellion. All right, my point is, keep saying what needs to be said. Find a platform, any platform, several platforms. I'm not going to give up on Facebook. They're going to have to kick me off. You know, if I've got people that still want to follow me there, engage with me there, argue with me there, I'm going to stay in Facebook because I'm going to let the truth win, even though the censors, the Facebook Nazis, are trying to shut down that truth and burn the books. But as long as I can continue to speak the truth, standing next to the bonfire of book burning, I'll scream the truth to the high heavens, even on Facebook, even on Twitter and Instagram. I'm going to do it. So I'm not abandoning that, but I'm here to tell you that Parler gave me a hundredfold return, a hundredfold return compared to Facebook and Twitter. They don't have a monopoly. They do not. Don't let them convince you otherwise. I thought they did. They don't. The proof is this article is going crazy. I'm going to share the article with you. A bit of a repeat on some arguments that I've made before with a little bit different twist that you haven't heard. Okay? The title of the article in the Washington Post, excuse me, not Washington Post, Washington Times, is She Has a List, and that's a fact. And here's the article. Like in the past couple of weeks, I made a mistake. I was careless, and I retweeted something before I fact-checked it. I shouldn't have. I was lax, I was lazy, and what I posted turned out to be fake news. Here's the post that was fake. I'm going to quote it. And once he's gone, and we have regained our rightful place in the White House, look out if you supported him and endorsed his actions, because we'll be coming for you next. You will feel the vengeance of a nation. No stone will be left unturned as we seek you out in every corner, for it is you who have betrayed us. Unquote, close quote, I should say, Senator Kamala Harris, April 30, 2020. I'm going to read that quote to you one more time. And once he's gone, and we have regained our rightful place in the White House, look out if you've supported him and endorsed his actions, because we'll be coming for you next. You will feel the vengeance of a nation. No stone will be left unturned as we seek you out in every corner, for it is you who have betrayed us. Close quote. Kamala Harris, April 30, 2020. Now here's the thing. Apparently, this is not an accurate quote. It seems that it was written in a satirical piece back in 2019, as best as my research could show me. But I want you to pay attention to this. Here's the point. This statement from Kamala Harris is so close to the numerous other verified comments
from key players in the Democrat Party and their corresponding useful idiots in the media, but I repeat myself there, that at first blush, it didn't even strike me as odd or out of order. So the statement was so close to other stuff that the mainstream media and other key Democrat Party leaders are saying. They're literally saying it. They're tweeting it. They're Facebooking it. They're saying it on television shows. They're saying it all over the place. So this quote, which is not real, it is fake, from Kamala Harris, is so close, I didn't even bother to think that it might not be true. I thought she was just one of the many saying the exact same thing. Well, what are those other things? Comments such as, any Republican now promoting rejection of an election or calling not to follow the will of the voters or making baseless allegations of fraud should never serve in office, join a corporate board, find a faculty position, or be accepted into polite society. We have a list. Close quote. Jennifer Rubin, Washington Post. Here's another one. Is anyone archiving these Trump sycophants for when they try to downplay or deny their complicity in the future? I foresee decent probability of many deleted tweets, writings, photos, etc. Close quote. Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, United States Congress. In responding to her tweet, Michael Simon of the Trump Accountability Project said this, yes, we are. Every administration staffer, every campaign staffer, every bundler, every lawyer who represented them, everyone, we're keeping a list. And then there's this quote, when this nightmare is over, we need a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. It would name every official, politician, executive, and media mogul whose greed and cowardice enabled this catastrophe. I'll repeat this. Every official, every politician, every executive, every media mogul whose greed and cowardice enabled this catastrophe should be subjected to a Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Robert Reich, former Labor Department Secretary to Bill Clinton and advisor to President Barack Obama. Here's another one. The most humane and reasonable way to deal with all these people, if we survive this, is some kind of Truth and Reconciliation Commission. Chris Hayes, MSNBC host. And here's one that takes the award for being the most extreme, the granddaddy of them all. Quote, so let us brace ourselves. The terrorist Trump must be defeated, must be destroyed, must be devoured, and then he and his enablers, his supporters, and his collaborators must be prosecuted and convicted and removed from our society. The fight is not just to win an election, but to win it by enough to chase, at least for a moment, Trump and the maggots off the stage and then try to clean up what they left. Remember, the fight does not end on November 3rd, but in many ways, will only begin that day, unquote. Keith Olbermann, former ESPN and MSNBC commentator. And then there's this one. This is a man that many of you might have voted for, and in fact did vote for in 2016 because you thought he was the conservative alternative, the principled conservative that stood against the debauched personality and life of Donald Trump, the orange man. Here's this quote. We should keep and publish a list of everyone who assists Trump in his frivolous and dangerous attacks on this election. I'll say it again. We should keep and publish a list of everyone who assists Trump in his frivolous and dangerous attacks on the election. Name and shame forever, unquote. Evan McMullen, former CIA operative and 2016 independent candidate for the presidency of the United States. And here's one. I've said it before. We can't let this one disappear. This is the poster child of hate. This is the poster child of not so thinly veiled threats of violence. Me First capitalists are going to be the first people lined up against the wall and shot in the revolution. And I'll happily provide video commentary. Unquote, Dick Costolo, former CEO of Twitter. And here you have Bhushkar Sunkara, founder of Jacobin Magazine, the top publication among Democrat socialists, which is about all of them right now. Quote, I think killing the little Romanov children was justified for the sake of the revolution. Close quote. And then there's this from Joe Biden himself, who in 2018 gave a speech to the Human Rights Campaign, and he described conservative Jews and Christians who dared to live by the 4,000-year-old moral teachings of the Bible as, quote, virulent people, some of them the dregs of society. I'll say it one more time. Anyone, Jew or Christian, who believes that the biblical moral teachings, the 4,000-year-old teachings that have held human civilization together, are virulent people, some of them the dregs of society. Joe Biden, 2018. So here's the thing. The quote I posted concerning Kamala Harris may not have been accurate, but all of these other comments are. They're accurate. Anybody, left, right, or center, has to agree these are factual statements. I've quoted these people accurately. And here's something else that's entirely true. Senator Harris's silence. Silence. Kamala Harris has said nothing to condemn any of these comments. She has said nothing about Jennifer Rubin's and Keith Olbermann's and Chris Hayes's and Robert Reich's thirst for payback. She has said nothing about the implied Bolshevik violence of Bhushkar Sunkara and Dick Costolo. She has said nothing about the spooky Orwellian lunacy of Evan McMullen. She has said nothing to condemn the derogation of Judeo-Christian people by her own boss. Nothing. Zero. Zip. Crickets. Total silence. Now, if you're asking yourself, why should I care? She's only the running mate. The VP doesn't matter. I want you to consider this. Should President Trump's legal challenges of election malfeasance in Michigan, Pennsylvania, Georgia, Arizona, and Utah fail? And should Joe Biden actually be inaugurated on January 20, 2021? It won't take Biden's own party 5 minutes to declare him unfit to serve by virtue of dementia, and thereby declare Kamala Harris the next president of the United States. And when that happens, I want you to remember this. She has a list. And that, my friends, isn't fake news. That's a fact. That's a fact. That's the article. Again, when I posted this on Facebook, I got 100 likes, a few reposts. When I posted it on Twitter, I think I got less than 30 likes. When I posted it on Parler, over 1 million screen views, over 6,000, I think it's 400, 500 upvotes, which is likes. And I gained over 3,000 new followers in 12 hours. Never give up. Never give up. Don't let these censors get the best of you. Use their platform as long as you can. If they want to burn a few of your books, quote unquote, metaphorically, if they want to censor you like they've censored me, fine. Keep fighting within the arena as long as they let you engage. But there are other arenas out there. There are other platforms out there. And you know what? Some of them apparently will give you a return of 10, 100, 1,000-fold over and above what Facebook and Twitter were giving you. My encouragement to you, Speak the truth, speak boldly. People want to hear it. They want to hear it. And when you speak with clarity and confidence and courage, you will gain an audience. They will come from miles around just to watch you burn. That's a quote from John Wesley. Preach the truth. Preach it with confidence, and men will come from miles around just to watch you burn. I'm telling you right now that your voice for truth will win. Jesus promised it. The gates of hell cannot prevail against his church. His church is the body of truth that exists within our culture right now. You have the Word made flesh and dwelling among us, Jesus Christ. He is giving you his Word in Scripture. It's inerrant, it's infallible, it's true. And when you speak that truth with courage and confidence in the market square of ideas, whether it be Facebook or whether it be Parler, you will be heard. People want to hear it. People will celebrate it. Oh, some will throw tomatoes at you, and some will troll you, and some will call you names, but who the heck cares? You can get 1 million people to attend to a voice as simple and clear as what I've just described to you. Common sense will prevail because sense that's common has always won the day in the market square of ideas. It always wins. The truth shall set you free. I'm Dr. Everett Piper, and this is The Rebellion.